The video version of this episode can be found at patreon.com/flagtimepodcast.
I will start fucking streaming video games when I buy a second monitor to read fucking Twitch chat and everything.
Well, make that investment, bitch boy.
I'm gonna!
If you're angry that a warranty time got slashed, direct your anger towards the company that slashed it in the first place. This week on Flag Time! Anyway, welcome to the Flag Time Podcast, everybody.
I don't know what,
This is an automotive service podcast where we talk a lot about not that. No one listening on the audio podcast is going to understand at all what we were talking about.
Is that going to be the fucking, the opening bit before you introduce it? Yes, it right is. Away?
Exactly what it's going to be like. And as soon as this hour timer is over, even if we're in the middle of a conversation, we're going to the next episode.
We have to change topics immediately.
No, we can continue the conversation in the next episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that way, like, if somebody listens to that episode first, and they're like, what the hell's going on? And then they go back to this one, and they're like, oh, it's like a prequel.
Going to be another fucking rant episode, isn't it?
Might as well be, because, like, the story that I put on the Instagram page, you should go check it out.
Oh, let me look.
Oh, my God.
Should I tell what happened to that F-150?
Yes, you should.
So I get, it's not a die, it's just a check. It's the customer states the car does not accelerate when you hit the gas.
Uh-huh. Must be a Ford.
It was.
Fix it again, Tony.
Piece of shit.
It was a 2017 F-150 with the 3.5 EcoBoost in it. The 3.5 EcoBoost is normally really good, other than the cam phasers will... like to
other than
noise.
The 10,000 things that go wrong with them. Yeah, they're good motors.
You know, 6.0 is really, really good. You just got to change the pistons and the cylinders and everything, and you got to change the truck into an 07 Duramax Chevy.
I mean,
that is really reliable.
You ever heard of the ship of Theseus?
I mean, the EcoBoost V6s and the trucks and the SUVs, I regularly see them with 250,000 to 300,000 miles on them.
Oh, yeah, they're good if you change the fucking oil in them.
Yes, that's the...
It's weird, like, if you maintain a vehicle, it lasts long, huh? Whoa!
But anyway, it's in for a note, doesn't want to accelerate. So I take it on a test drive. I don't hear any strange noises at all. This is important for later. So I drive it, step on the gas, it doesn't want to go. It's like it's acting exactly like the cats are plugged up and the turbos aren't breathing.
What the fuck is this? What is this?
But you go on, Pixie.
So I'm driving, I'm like, okay, this feels like cats. It's doing everything that plugged up cats are doing. It's not letting the turbos breathe. It's not letting it suck in more air. It's going.
It's meowing because it wants food.
Yeah. So I pull it in.
It's not carbon.
And I tell them, I pull it in. I let it idle. And I even plug my scanner into it to look at the O2 sensors. The back O2 sensors are reading way too high, like it's got fucking plugged cats. Like it's fucking running super lean. I was like, okay, this thing needs cats. It's running really lean. It's not accelerating. The exhaust is hot as fuck. It's not doing what it's supposed to. I recommended cats. They approved the cats. I'm starting to take it apart. I lift it up, unplug the two O2 sensors in the rear. The upper O2 sensors, the plugs are way up at the top at the back of the engine. So I bring it back down. I take the cover, the fucking vanity cover off of the engine so I can actually reach the plug. And I take it off and I'm like, that's not supposed to be outside. And what's outside is the high pressure fuel pump on the valve cover is just sitting on top of the fucking valve cover.
Hell yeah.
Like it's plugged in. It's got the fuel lines are connected. It itself is not fucking in the valve cover because a bolt is broken off in there. And the bracket that's attached to the high pressure fuel pump that the bolts go through is broken. And I'm like, that's probably why it's not accelerating and also why it's running lean as fuck.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's running lean.
Yeah.
And then you said it needed cats.
Well, no, it's...
That was his initial thought. That was his initial
running
theory.
Lean because when the cats are fucking plugged up, the exhaust gets really fucking hot.
Yeah.
Right, but it's like, I was like, that's probably why the fucking O2 sensors and everything are reading weird and it's not moving, is because it's not getting any fucking high pressure fuel for the direct injection. The fact that I didn't hear any clattering or anything under the hood, because there's just, it's like there's a hole in the valve cover, basically, because it just sits in the valve cover. Yeah. I didn't hear anything.
Was there oil everywhere?
Not
did you
everywhere.
Look under the hood?
I did, but because of the big fucking vanity cover, I didn't fucking see it because it's underneath the giant cover.
It's not that big. I mean, it covers the valve covers, I guess.
It covers the whole top of the 3.5 engine. You can't see the engine until you take it off. But I was like, I was looking, because there's oil dripping on the side. I was like, the valve covers might be bad. Or might starting to leak because it had 160,000 miles on it or whatever. And the customer says, we looked back in the history. We did the valve covers on it 2 years ago. I was like, uh-oh, coworker might have fucked it up. The customer, when we called the customer about it, he's like, no, I just had it at Ford a month ago. They replaced the cam phasers in it. And he's like,
oh. To tighten the bolts to the high-pressure fuel pump.
Well, no, one of them was tight. The other one was snapped off.
So the bolt failed.
They broke it.
The bolt.
They broke it.
Yeah.
Either the bolt failed or they broke it and didn't tell anybody.
Probably over tightened it and it just with the stress just fucking tink.
What? But I was like, it saved that guy a lot of fucking money because the cat job when that's like $3,000 almost. Mm-hmm. But then,
so did you guys order the cats?
We had the cats were on their way.
Oh.
So we sent them back. We called the driver, like, hey, you can take those back. I don't need them nowhere.
I bet when you found that, you were like, fuck, I should have looked there first.
Dude, that guy was constantly in this fucking job.
Well, like, I would have never fucking thought that, because it did every single thing that plugged up cats do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, must be cats. Not the high pressure fuel pump, not in engine anymore.
Bro, it's gotten to the point, Sterling, like when I do customer videos for my like cars that I work on, I actually say if I find something that I did not see in the initial inspection, your service advisor will let you know what I found. Because I'll be working on something and I'll be like, hey, that's busted.
There it is.
And it does. Whoops, you miss it in the first inspection because you don't know to look for it. You look at all the basic stuff.
Exactly.
And then.
Yeah.
And especially then when it's covered by a fucking football field of plastic.
I fucking always take those covers off when I'm looking at shit.
Oh, yeah, you kind of have to.
Whenever most shops that I've worked at, we have to do an inspection on every single car that comes in the door, no matter what, every single time, period. Mm. And a lot of dealerships are that way. And I've just kind of been used to it. I mean, you know, like if it's a car you've never seen before, it's good to just get like a look at the whole thing. Like, hey, if I, you know, recommend this, is this like going to affect the longevity of the car? Like, oh, you know, this car needs fucking four wheel brakes and shit. But like, the struts are about to fall out of this thing and the strut mounts are covered in rust. So if we do struts, there's a chance that the car might structurally fail within the next like year. So maybe we should not do anything and tell the customer, hey, this shit's not worth fixing. Just FYI.
I've had a handful of cars like that had to say, hey, I'm not fucking touching that.
Yeah. Like you get like a car in that's just like this total fucking piece of crap. Like, you know, like, oh my God, like, you know, this car's like got attachment issues with the owner, so the owner's like, I want to fix it, I don't want to get rid of it. But then you see like stuff, you see something that's like, all right, well,
it's like, that's a liability,
burst your bubble, because there is structural rust on suspension component mounting points. This is not really fixable. I mean, you could take this thing to like a restoration shop and like cut a section out of a donor vehicle and put it into this thing, but you're talking like tens of thousands of dollars plus taking your car to like a collision repair shop, but also the entire car is in that condition. So it's like, I'm not gonna, you know, sell you something. Like, I'm not gonna sell you four wheel brakes on a car that's about to fall apart.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, I want you to like I'm not just here to get your money. And it's like, hey, you might have an accident in the future because the structure of this car is missing. Like, I've always been just like hyper cautious of looking for like overall condition, I guess.
Flag Time will be right back after this word from our sponsor. This episode of Flag Time is brought to you by the Flag Time Patreon.
That's literally where we're getting all of our funding from.
Flag Time Patreon is where you can see the video versions of all of our episodes from episode 30 onwards. We have three tiers that you can choose from. $3 tier that just lets you see the video episodes outright. A $6 tier that lets you see the video episodes and a bunch of other extra content, including access to our Discord. And a $15 tier that Pixie doesn't think you have the balls to get. $15 a month gets you everything that the $3 and $6 tiers get, including a shout out at the end of the episode. And also a listener interaction exclusive portion of the podcast specifically catered towards you guys. The Flag Time Podcast Patreon. Subscribe today to see.
Hi, Stirworks here. We here at Flag Time want to let you guys know that Apple has required Patreon to use their in-app purchasing system and remove all other billing options from their iOS services. This means that Apple's 30% App Store fee will be added to our existing tier prices, ramping up the cost. We want you to avoid this by using your browser on your Apple device for any Patreon purchases after November of 2024. Doing this bypasses the 30% App Store fee and doesn't allow an already successful corporation to nickel and dime you as the consumer. Existing supporters don't need to worry, as this only affects new members. Thank you for your attention, and we appreciate your continued support of this dumbass show.
Sterling, do you want to talk about how there's an army of technicians that think you're the reason that a warranty time got slashed?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what people are thinking. Like, I don't know. I guess there's... So, for context...
Toolkit, by the way.
We Honda has recalled like almost 2 million cars for this steering recall because when they put these CRVs, HRVs, and Civics together, they didn't disperse this amount of grease around a circular worm gear properly. So the grease just stays on the backside of the gear and doesn't actually go into the system that it is meant to go into. It's not, you know, they didn't put the grease in the right place, which is a really funny reason for a recall. It's also not that big of a deal to do. The official recall from Honda says you have to drop the subframe out of the car to get the steering rack unbolted and flipped over so you can access this, like, kind of, it's like a 3-inch wide plastic cover with two 10 millimeters on it. They originally said that you couldn't take the cover out of the car without taking the subframe down, and they were like, you need to remove the subframe because holding it with the bolts in the front is technically like not a real official way to do something, so you have to like remove it according to Honda, and that means replacing all of the subframe bolts that come out, like 15-20 bolts, and like just a bunch of shit. It's like 1.9 hours to do. But in my view, just being a flat rate guy and being like underpaid on every single fucking thing I've pretty much ever done for like 15 or 14 plus years as a flat rate technician, you know, I was like, there's no way that there's not an easier way to do this. So I looked at it and I was like,
I can figure out how to do it fast.
I was like, I have long ratcheting flex head tools. I just took a 10 millimeter like long Matco ratchet wrench and busted the two 10 millimeters loose, and you can thread them out because the cars are like brand new, so nothing's like dirty yet. Everything's under covers, so you just thread the bolts out by hand, pull the cover off. People say you have no room to get the cover off, but I've never run into that. I've done tons and tons of them at this point. And then, you know, you take your finger, you know, you take the grease, you put it on your finger, and then you like kind of push it down into the actual drive of the worm gear itself and not kinda on like the back side of the gear.
Like packing a wheel bearing.
Just packing a bearing. And then there's like a calibration kind of, not a calibration, it's like a tension plug. Like, you know how steering rack, you know how you adjust the steering rack?
Yeah.
Where there's like a little plug and you pull the plug out and there's a spring and like a cup on the bottom side of that, and you adjust it for preload. You pull the old plug out you take the old spring and the like the little follower out of there, and you discard that, and you put a new one in, but you're supposed to put grease on it. So you take some of the grease from there, put it on the spring and the little cap, and then you put it back, and then you screw the plug back in. The plug is a triple square, 10 millimeter triple square plug.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a 12 millimeter triple square, but you can take a 10 millimeter Allen and just put it in, because, you know, it's half a six, half of a 12 point triple square is a 6 point. You could fit it exactly. It doesn't, it's super easy to do.
It's not like just, it's a high torque bolt where you risk the whole stripping thing. It.
Well, you can torque it to nine foot pounds of torque. And like, I've taken apart so many valve bodies of transmissions and so many like just little like minute thing. Like, I've rebuilt control modules and they have some of the specifications for that shit has torque specs. And I can basically, I've been doing it for so long that I know what 9 foot pounds fucking feels like. I could probably do it and then do a calibrated torque wrench and it would be very close. Also, the plug just bottoms out, so 9 foot pounds is just like,
as long as you don't like over tighten the shit out of it.
So the only thing you really have to do is there's a rear control arm bushing that is directly, the top little finger of that is directly above where you're supposed to put the wrench for the plug that you're supposed to remove. And unless you have a really low profile tool, or well, unless you have a really low profile tool, you just, you know, unbolt the rear control arm bushing. If you kind of wedge it out of the way just a little bit, you can fit that tool in there no problem. But if you had something thinner, you don't even need to remove the bushing.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly somebody at a factory somewhere higher up at Honda had the same idea as me, and a fucking special toolkit from Honda shows up at our dealership that is a thin 10 millimeter, or it's like a thin little 10 millimeter Allen, you know, six sided hex plug tool, like Allen fucking wrench. It's like an Allen wrench, basically. Basically exactly what I had in the video with the ratcheting. Jesus fucking Christ, I cannot talk.
Ratcheting ratchet?
Too much no. Taco Bell, can't speak.
Well, I'm fucking stupid. I get like just like behind in where I'm talking, and then I forget everything that I'm saying all at once. So Honda sends us special tools that are eerily similar to the tools that I used to get the job done in the first place. There's a thumb wheel, basically a thumb ratchet. That's a non-ratcheting wrench. It's basically just like a thumb wrench, I guess you would call it, for a 10 millimeter plug, which fits directly in that little plug that goes in the side of the steering rack, and a basically a breaker bar with a 10 millimeter stubby Allen on it. So you break it loose and then you finger ratchet it out. And then the other side of that wrench has a little tool to put the spring and the little cap on, and you push that up into the steering rack, and then you put the cap back in. So they clearly had the same idea as me. I mean, obviously I'm not probably the first one that came up with this idea,
because they had the shit already shit done made.
Because they had the shit even made before I even fucking posted the video. People just jump to conclusions immediately.
The way
it's almost like people are stupid.
Well, the thing
is, it's not that they're stupid. It's just like, hey, you know, we're all pretty smart. We can all figure shit out. Machines are machines. We can fucking figure out two ways to put them together and take them apart. But I don't think somebody saw my video that like a $1 billion corporation had somebody watching Instagram, saw my video, made tools the exact same way, and then had them already made and shipped with part numbers and everything in the catalog and ready to go before I posted the video of my recall hack. And people are in the comment section of this video like, this is all your fucking fault. Like, what the fuck?
Well, the whole thing about that is, we've had this situation in Mercedes. We've had this situation before in Mercedes where somebody shared a recall hack on a Facebook page, and Mercedes corporate saw it and they slashed the warranty times. But in your situation, they had already come up with the solution before you even posted it. However,
exactly, it was predetermined. They're like, well, you know, might as well get this out.
Because you posted it at the same time that they were going to update it anyway, people chose your video as a scapegoat.
It's so funny. Yeah. Like, I get it. I if I didn't know the situation, I probably would have thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. But now that video is just filled with, the comment section is just filled with people like, this is your fault.
So good for your fucking engagement, though.
That's kind of what I was going to say, is it's made the views of that video go crazy, even though I'm getting like people, some people are getting like really, really nasty.
Yeah. I hope your mom dies in a fire type comments.
Not like that. It's like, hang on. Well, someone commented on one of my other videos. It's like, how does it feel to know that people, like poor people are getting paid less because of you? And I was like, what the fuck? What?
Imagine posting that and feeling so good about yourself, thinking you hurt someone's feelings.
The thing about that is you're now figuring out who's in this for the money. You're figuring out who's in this industry just for the money, because if you actually cared about what you're doing, you wouldn't fucking give a shit.
Like, hey, like, maybe don't work at a dealership if you don't like doing recall work. I don't know.
Work at a dealership.
It's like, hey, if you don't like working, if you don't like fucking, you know, flipping patties at McDonald's, then maybe you shouldn't be flipping patties at McDonald's. Like, it's really, there are other jobs out there.
Imagine picking a job specifically for making a lot of money and picking this fucking job.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. You can make a lot of money as a mechanic.
You can.
And making money as a mechanic a lot of times can be achieved, but if you're stuck doing recall and warranty work and you haven't figured out a way to hack the recall, if you're somebody who has been doing the warranty extension for those steering racks and you drop the whole subframe and drop the shield and it takes, 2 hours to do it the right way every time, like, you can take, all the time you want, but you can also just do it in 0.4 by just unbolting the rear control arm and doing it that way. I mean, I was like, hey, I know this recall is about to get changed, and there's going to be some people out there that they just put a stop sale out on, like, all those CRVs and Civics and mm-hmm. all that. So we had like 40 something of these at our dealership, and we were just blowing through them. Mm-hmm. And I figured out, there were four of them in the shop that had their subframes out. And my foreman was over, like, messing around. He was like, yeah, you got to take the subframe out. And I was like, I want to try something. And
it's like, no, watch.
I, like, went home that night. I went and grabbed, like, a Stubby Allen Tools, like a Vim Tools Stubby Allen 10 millimeter head, and the little stubby ratchet that goes with it, brought it to work.
That little Max Tools, little ratcheting combo thing that I have will work.
You don't have to worry about it, so you're not a Honda dealer.
Well, no, but it's because that tool that you said that you showed,
yeah,
looks similar to, because I think Eric, I think you also have that same little,
yeah, the little SB27,
yeah,
thing? Yeah.
And, everybody did that recall. Everybody did that warranty extension at the dealership, dropping the subframe and taking the steering rack out. And I was like, fuck that. And I was like, have you guys ever seen?
Did you tell your coworkers that you did it?
I told them all of that. And then we went through like 40 something CRVs that were in our lot. We went through like all of them in like 3 or 4 days.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, yeah, cool. We all made a shit ton of money. Our parts department was upset because we had like bags of these fucking bolts that they wanted put on the car. And we were just like, yeah, we didn't use any of them except for like the one control arm bolt that we used.
Take them back.
Also, like, there were a bunch of people saying that, this isn't the right way. And, doing it the wrong way like I was doing is going to get people killed. But the thing is the way Honda says to do it, they want you to take all 6 or 8, I forget how many bolts hold the subframe in, take the entire subframe out of the car, unbolt the ball joints, unbolt the bottom torque mounts, the motor mounts, everything comes off of the steering shaft has to come off, the tie rods have to come off, everything has to come off, and come onto the ground. It's not super hard to do it the right way.
It's just a lot of stuff.
Yeah. It's just a lot of stuff that you're touching. And in my view and in my opinion, this is my opinion. It's all we have is our opinion, right? Mm-hmm. It's not fact. In my opinion, the less factory torqued to specification, the bolts, all that shit, if you're not going to touch it, you're not messing with any of that. Like, those bolts were assembled in the factory by factory workers. They do that all day, every day. They have inspectors. Those bolts had paint marks on them. Like, I'm just going to rattle, like, technicians, we're all just going to rattle them in with our fucking impact guns and call it a day. That's what's going to happen. You can, you know, go on social media and you can complain that everybody who's a fucking mechanic doesn't do their shit right. But we know what we're doing enough to, like, get you down the road safely and do a good job. But nobody's fucking putting torque wrenches on those bolts. Nobody's doing that.
Except Eric.
Except for Eric, who works at a fucking Mercedes-Benz dealer and has, like, people that watch fucking, like, oh, we all watch this shit. Like, no.
I was saying, because they remember the Dr. AMG episode, the first one that we did, where, like, he got a message from somebody that he knows in corporate, and there was an office with his Instagram page on a fucking, like, like, projector.
Yeah, well. So, yeah. And we got some questions for you, bud.
I was going to say, Mercedes definitely watches what we do. They definitely watch me and Dr. AMG 100%. Yeah.
Like, I'm not promoting doing a bad job. I just say the more factory torqued to specification bolts you remove, the more chance of a failure, because not everyone's going to want to, like, you know, sometimes some people are just going to fucking use an impact swivel on an adapter and just gun them all in and call it a day. That's what 90% of people are going to do. There are some people that put paint marks on everything, but really, those are shops that nobody's making any money at, and technicians probably aren't flat rate at those shops.
I think the main discourse from your video is there's a bunch of people who wish that they could still make 2 hours on a 0.4-hour job.
Like, sorry, it's not going to work that way. Like, if I didn't do anything, that still would have been posted. Yeah, and that's
the main message that I want to get across, is that even if Sterling didn't post that video, it would have changed anyway.
It's still going to happen no matter what.
Like, it's not like a bunch of things got their rates. It's that one thing got changed. It's not like fucking 8 other things got changed.
However, if you have another hack for another recall, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, no. Well,
because then you actual people coming after you.
Hey. Fucking.
That's not a fix I have to deal with at all. So I don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I don't even. But
I mean, there's
the advertisement that I did for FCP Euro, I was like, this isn't a how to video. And I just cut through, like, the steps that I did. I didn't show
how many people treated mine as a how to video. They were like, you didn't show dispersing the grease around. You didn't show how to do this. I'm like, I didn't fucking make a goddamn tutorial, buddy.
You, like, weren't wearing gloves. You're going to die.
Also, if you watched the video with the sound on, you would have known that was completed. Like, you would have been like, oh, yeah, the thing that he said in the earlier step. Like, yeah. Even though, like, I said, yeah, I just did this already that I'm just showing you. Like, that's what I said in the video. And I mentioned that there are special tools in the caption. But I don't know. People just love to jump to conclusions for no reason, I guess.
Well, that's, they like to scapegoat because it requires less thought. Less thought is easy.
Those type of people is kind of why I haven't posted a video on how to do the lower ball joints on a lot of Toyota vehicles.
I'm never going to do a how-to video. I'm just, like, going to keep doing stupid shit. Make me look like an idiot, even though I'm master certified.
Because you can do the,
Jesus fucking Christ,
the lower ball joints on the Toyota Sienna minivans, they pay 3.5 hours. You don't even have to take the fucking tires off the car.
No.
Because you're supposed to take the hub and the axle off so you can put a thing on top of the bolt or a ratchet on top of the bolt.
Wow.
Like, that sort of thing. No, you just hit it with a fucking flat wrench, fucking rip it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move the brake shield against the rotor a little bit, and then you beat the shit out of the knuckle so it pops out, and then you zip the three bolts off and it fucking comes out, and then you reverse it. And
you know what's even easier than that? What? On that same vehicle, motor mounts.
I wouldn't say that those are easier, but those
motor mounts,
it's a similar level.
You fucking unbolt the three bottom mounts and the top one, like where the little arm goes over it, and then you just lower the subframe, jack the motor up, and they come right out, and you put the new ones in. They pay 12 hours or something.
It's like 9 point. It's nine right. Something.
I got Identifix. Hang on.
You have Identifix on your thing?
I do.
That's fucking awesome. And you can do that in like 2 hours.
Direct hit login. I can pull up.
I can pull up all of the Mercedes like know-how on my home computer if I wanted to, because I have access to my D7.
God, I wish I could just pull fucking. It's kind of cool that you can just pull.
Okay, 2006.
Yeah, no. Do like a 20, like a 2017. Those are the ones I do a lot.
Oh, that's what
I'm gonna make that fucking a clip too, Sterling. I'm gonna make that last. I'm gonna take like the highlights of that conversation in the past, like that we just did, and make it a clip for the Flag Time Instagram, and tag you as a creator so it shows up on your Instagram too.
be like, hey, like. FYI, predetermined things are predetermined.
Yes. I just did the
video on them.
Fucking dumbass thing ever. I was looking at the cameras. I thought there was something on my shirt. No, it was just something on my screen physically. I was trying to get it off my shirt, and I was like, why isn't it coming on? Like,
lower control arm, parts and labor. Engine 3.3 liter engine mount, all mount.
Like every time I see
Proto Man.
Every time I see a Sienna come in, I'm like, ooh,
big car.
Because they usually have between 120,000 and 250,000 miles on it. 9 times out of 10, those control arm bushings are bad, and the and the ball joints are leaking.
Sienna's are fucking nice, man. Like
they're like spaceships.
Yeah.
There's too much the center console is fucking weird. There's too much space underneath the center console.
That's not a problem. That's actually really.
I know it's not a problem, but it's like I can crawl from underneath the footwell of the driver's side to the pad. That's how much fucking space is there.
You can put a bunch of shit in there, like napkins or snacks or.
Okay, here it's a big family car.
You kind of need that space.
Yeah.
Okay.
My girlfriend's mom has one. I've driven it before. It's a really nice car. I like it.
Here are the steps for front control arm removal. Install. Oh wait, no, that's assembly. Fuck. Hang on.
We just want the labor rate. How many hours does it pay?
Here you go. Step one: remove the engine and transmission assembly. Christ. Step two: remove transverse engine mounting insulator. It's the control arm, not the engine mount.
Yeah,
and the control arm.
Take the engine out to do it.
You don't even have to. Yeah, 9.9.
Yeah, 9.9. But you gotta lift the engine off of the mounts because you gotta get the mounts out of the way to do.
You don't even need to. You just use a fucking ratchet wrench.
I use a ratchet
wrench and the fucking bolts come out, and you don't even need the fucking.
Well, like you look at them and it's like, oh, you know, they could have just, you know. Made them screw in from the fucking bottom.
Yeah, that labor never got changed.
By the way, I have a question. Hey, Mercedes, I know you're listening. I have a warranty thing to talk about. Why is it when I add up all of the steps to remove a thermostat on an M177, it comes out to 15 warranty hours, but you only like pay for the removal of the thermostat, which is 4? Why do we get paid 4 hours for a 15-hour job, huh?
Because they can.
Does that job normally pay 15 hours?
It would. It would if we actually add up every single part that we take off to get to the thermostat. it would come up to 15 hours. And if it wasn't under an extended warranty until 2030 fucking five, we would be able to charge 30 hours for it for customer pay.
Because they can.
But imagine because having Big Daddy Mercedes would go bankrupt otherwise, they only charge us 4 hours.
Father Mercedes.
15 hours to take off a part that's on the engine.
Yes, because there's a bunch of shit.
I don't even think the rebuild labor.
It's not even inside of it.
Yeah, I know. I don't even think the rebuild labor for my 2-valve is 15 hours.
Like, so what you have to do on some cars is you have to remove the bumper, you have to remove the radiator, the condenser unit, both, what is it, charge air coolers. You have to peel the, what's the word I'm looking for? The wiring harness. You have to peel the wiring harness back, and then you have access to the thermostat. Then you take the thermostat off. Put thermostat back
on top of a fucking like Ford 2-valve is just 2 8-mils, and then and then it pops out. Yeah. You just take it out.
Yeah, it takes 30 seconds for my thermostat.
Fastest I've done a thermostat job for that recall is like hours.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And they pay four.
I think it pays 12 hours to pull my engine, rebuild it, and put it back in the fucking car.
That's like, that's gotta be literally slave labor. Like, that's not even like that is unpaid labor.
Mm-hmm.
Really, regardless of how you look at that,
it's because they would go out of business if they had to pay what it was actually worth.
Like, why? I feel like the people that are upset that my video like cut the flat rate are like the same people that are just like stuck. Like getting warranty work and recall work, like that's slave labor basically.
that's the only reason why I haven't gone to a dealership is because I don't want to deal with warranty work.
Yeah, it's a big problem that needs to be addressed. Hey, we have a platform, we can address it. Hey,
hey, you
car makers, stop underpaying people. There
well, that's
you go.
The thing, right. Though, because like I don't know.
Stop designing stupid
there
shit.
There was a state that implemented a law where you like where car companies had to pay the customer pay rate for warranty, and then a car company sued that state.
Like I love Honda as a company, but you know, obviously, I don't like that.
Yeah. So they will sue a state for passing a law to make them pay their employees more. So that's the
also
state of the world.
Totally. If there was a Honda executive that did see my video and was like, "Oh, that's a great idea," give me my fucking cut.
Where's my royalty?
We found the real reason.
Where's my royalty?
I want 3%.
Man, if that was a real reason. Imagine if I could actually like just be like an undercover like sleuth for fucking. Right. Like
I haven't
a car
heard
company
the word sleuth being said in like 30 years.
Like an old timey like fucking like detective person that goes undercover as a technician and goes to like shops. Like I actually got people like messaging me,
so my undercover
saying, always
boss.
Gotta keep the peasant like some guy was like, "You gotta keep the peasants down" or something. I'm like, well, okay, I don't think anyone who's a mechanic would refer to themselves as a peasant. That's kind of insulting to everyone else who's a mechanic.
They're in it for the money. They want as much money as possible. So if they're not...
Now, Loop Tech, that's a different story. No.
If you're a Loop Tech or an entry-level technician, like, thinking they're going to make it big as a mechanic, you probably won't do that.
Unless you're engine rebuilds at Mercedes or something.
Yeah, unless you have, like, outstanding, crazy skills... then you will achieve your goals in tenfold. But I mean, a lot of people, like I work with a guy who's been a technician for 38 fucking years. 38 years. You know how long that is? That's almost 40 years.
That's longer than I've been alive.
I used to have a coworker that was fucking 68 when he retired.
Like he's not poor. He's like comfortable. He's like, yeah, I make like $70,000 a year, which is like what basically everyone else makes who's a seasoned mechanic at this point. But like, you know, if I wanted to become a lawyer and make a lot more money, then I would have done that. But you know, I'm cool with what I got. and I got a 68 Mustang, so fuck all you.
Like my
like he's got just enough.
My my best friend's father-in-law is a retired BMW technician, and all he did was like deep electrical diag stuff and wiring like fixes and shit like that. He did like the really fucking heavy electrical shit, like getting
in the really hard shit.
Yeah, he made like $180,000 a year.
Jesus.
Salary.
Wow.
Damn.
Hell yeah. Well, I mean,
but that's because that's the only thing he did there. Yeah. Every time a car came with something like that, that's his thing.
Well, you could shoot for that, or you could be like one of the guys at the last dealer that I worked at, where he arrived at 5 a.m, left at 8 o'clock at night, and did not stop working at all, and made like 300 hours a week. You could just live at the shop. You could have no life. You could have like you could do absolutely nothing to further your life in any way except to make money. But live at the shop and do that. That is a way to do it.
You have no fucking friends.
Exactly. Yeah,
no social life or nothing.
You're also like feeding into the whole thing where the dealership can treat you like a slave and get away with it. Like that's the way you're just digging into that kind of thing. You can make a lot of money doing that. However, you're getting fucking shafted by how much money you could make if you just, you know, stood up for yourself or something.
It also completely depends.
Like, hey, can I have a little more than $19 an hour as a 7 year plus technician, please?
There's also the guys that like the really high luxury brands and shit. If you're the guy that rebuilds the engines in there, you're gonna make a lot of fucking money.
Yeah
get a skill, but that
there's not a lot of openings.
Get a skill that's like worth something. Don't just be a parts changer and rely on that. You gotta learn shit.
Like it's kind of just too late for me at this point. in the industry that I'm in, I'm just like, you know, I worked at one shop for like 8 years, and I thought I was gonna be like, you know, the fucking guy that owns this place. But then I kind of just got pretty much just like thrown away, basically, because, you know, I was like, you know, under the impression that, you know, forming a relationship with the company and like doing, like giving it my all would benefit me, but turns out nope. That's not how it works. Sometimes employers will literally just be like, yeah, well, we don't really see a need to have you here anymore, and then bye, and then you're on
then
your own.
Bye.
You're like, all right, well, cool. That's just kind of,
it happens. It'd be like that sometimes.
It just be like that. I mean,
moral of the story, don't hate the player, hate the game.
It's not, yeah, like I'm not.
Put your hate towards the people that deserve it. The people who are making the decisions.
People that make the guys and make the money. The people that do the least amount of work at that company, which are the shareholders and all that shit, you know.
How much time we got left in this episode?
We got like 18 minutes. Make a decision, Patreon or Instagram?
Let's do Patreon.
You want to do the Patreon this episode?
Okay. We'll save Wienor for the next episode.
Okay. Let's see.
The next episode might be sleep deprived.
So on the Patreon, we ask our premium members questions, and they can ask us questions if given the chance. And that's what we're going to do, because today, bless you. Today, sorry. I said, we're recording two episodes tonight and forgot to think of a topic. Say something quick, because we're recording right now and we'll answer in real time. Probably AMA again. Probably go, go, go. And the questions haven't even loaded. Sick. All right, I got to go back here. Oh, we have 16 comments already. Hell yeah.
Damn.
Premium member Devine says mini trucks Wienor with 3 R's.
Cool.
We got a lot of people who want us to talk about mini trucks, and I have no fucking experience with any of them.
I owned a Ford Ranger twice. two different Ford Rangers.
Oh, I have we had a mini truck in the shop today.
Really?
It's you one that on comes Saturday? In. Yes. We've been over this.
I'm giving you shit.
Like several times.
I'm giving you shit.
So there's this 92 Toyota pickup that comes in, And I'm always excited when it comes in because I want to see how much fucking mileage it has on it. Because every time it comes in, it's just a... It was here 6 months ago. It's put on 23,000 miles since 6 months.
Hell yeah.
It currently has...
Is it a low rider?
What?
Is it a low rider?
No, it's just a 92 Toyota pickup work truck.
Well, it's not a mini truck. A mini truck is a type of low rider.
Low rider.
Look up mini truck. A mini truck is like that kind of truck, but a low rider, right?
I honestly have no fucking idea. So it's hard to talk about something when you don't know what it is. Case in
point. They're like, it's like,
what's that? When I Google mini truck, the things that come up are K trucks.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, well, this Toyota, this 92.
Those are K trucks.
The 92 Toyota pickup is fucking small.
Well,
it's tiny.
Well, compared to modern day trucks now, yeah.
It's mini to a normal truck. It's not K truck small, but it's fucking close.
Well,
it's small truck. A midsize truck is like twice the size now.
It's not.
But it's got 830,000 miles on it.
That's wild.
It is. I want to see it hit a million before the guy fucking passes away because the dude's old as fuck.
I guess the people are fucking changing the terminology on this shit because now a mini truck is just what people call a K truck now.
I always thought a mini truck was like from like the Volkswagen Rabbit and shit, like those small fucking like the late 80s, early 90s small ass pickup trucks.
My understanding is that a mini truck is a lowrider that is a midsize truck.
I've never heard of that.
That's the only, like, where is Instagram?
Well, we have 13 minutes and it's a hard, like, limit now, and we've got 16 questions to go through, so.
Hey, trucks are cool, go buy one.
What?
Search.
All right, while you're doing that, Cyan Lion says, what bands have you listened to recently? I'm listening to Vola and basically what's on my playlist right now.
What did I just add it to, songs? I'm vibing with Unprocessed right now.
Yeah. Okay, if you look up hashtag mini truck on Instagram, it is all just lowriders.
Hell yeah.
There's one K truck.
Sterling, what bands are you listening to?
I don't know, fucking Oingo Boingo.
Elysium Darkness says, what do when cargo boom? So you know those floating green health packs? You run into that and it just regenerates.
Or when you drive through a gas station when you're getting chased by
talking about Grand Theft Auto 4 online, right?
I don't know. I didn't hear the question.
What do when cargo boom? Cars go boom in Grand Theft Auto all the time. You just find a health pack and you're good to go.
Cargo boom when you run into the gas pump at the gas station.
Grand Theft Auto 4 is better than Grand Theft Auto 5. I will die on that hill.
I like Grand Theft Auto 5. I don't know. I didn't really play a Grand Theft Auto game until Grand Theft Auto 5, and then I played Grand Theft Auto 4 after Grand Theft Auto 5.
4 like, no, has better driving good. Physics.
I was
they all kind of have ass physics in them. Yeah. It's kind of wacky.
I can't get into the games like that. I'm like, damn. To get you gotta grind so much in this fucking game, and I don't like the game enough to do that.
Like, man, I just came home from work. The last thing I want to do is fucking work again in my video games.
Exactly. You have to work in the game almost.
Stupid.
Like premium member, the Big Maple says, top three fever dream shows you vaguely remember growing up.
Cyber Chase. Cyber Chase.
What was that?
Was a good one.
What was that one on Disney Channel with the kid and the snake?
I don't know what you're talking about. So yeah, Chowder was pretty fever dream-ish. Mr. Meaty. That show was fucking... Does anybody remember Mr. Meaty?
Sanjay and Craig, that's what it is.
Sanjay and Craig
was fucking weird.
That's the one with like the puppets. Like they were puppets.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You ever seen Mucha Lucha?
Yes.
That show was awesome. I fucking loved that show.
Do you
Mucha
remember
Lucha was good?
You remember a cartoon?
Every time
on,
that theme song came on, I got hyped as fuck.
You remember a cartoon on it's a Comedy Central called Shorties Watching Shorties?
No.
No.
Were you guys too young for that? Because what they did was they took sound bites of stand-up comedian specials and then animated it.
Yeah, that's not something I remember.
I didn't watch. I never.
I'm too young for that kind of shit, son.
I was watching Shorties when I was fucking 9.
That explains a lot.
I don't know. For whatever reason, I used to watch. My mom had a VHS tape of the Ford Explorer features. It was like a tape that came with her Explorer when she bought it new. And I watched that thing so many times. I don't really know why. I remember like all the accessories, like enjoy the new Ford Explorer's luxury features such as seats and throttle pedal.
I would argue that fucking videotape fucking slingshotted you into this fucking position right now.
Oh yeah, I'm like 7 years old, and the main movies I'm watching are The Iron Giant, The Brave Little Toaster, and the fucking 1995 Ford Explorer instructional videotape.
Fortunately,
you have all of them too. Mechanic.
Premium and Toy Story. Premium Ever Forced user says Mobius's ultra hype for non PG-13 WWE incoming. So here, let me explain what he's talking about here.
I'm lost.
Back in 2001, in November, 2 months after 9/11, I went to go see SmackDown in person. So I was a whole ass 8 years old watching an Attitude Era episode of WWF back before it was WWE.
Yeah, 9/11 just happened. Watch WWE.
So, like, I'm 8 years old at the Crown Coliseum in Fayetteville, North Carolina, watching the Thanksgiving special during the Attitude Era, where two bikini-laden wrestlers are swimming in gravy. I don't know why that was happening.
What the fuck?
Attitude Era was weird. But that's what I'm talking about going into this. WWE is now going to be shown on Netflix.
Oh, boy.
Which doesn't have a rating system. It's going to be, like, unrated. Okay. So they're not going to be PG anymore. They've been PG for the last 16 years.
Well, I guess we'll see how long they're on Netflix for.
Starts in January. If you guys want to watch the return of the Attitude Era, I know I am.
Get to have watch parties.
Premium member Kyle Olson 25 says, how are you and Sterling liking the new job so far? Anything interesting happening since you guys started? It's been same as usual. I just work underground now. That's the whole
thing. That's still just
I am an old man.
We work in a dungeon, and our dealership doesn't pay enough money for enough bandwidth for everybody to be streaming music at the same time. That's what we figured out.
That's funny. Eric is enjoying my job.
Eric is an honorary dwarf in the mines.
Even though I'm 6'3".
That's why I said honorary, because you're not short enough to be a dwarf.
I'm enjoying it. I am,
making people mad.
Most of the things that I've run into that are problems are just like kind of dealing with the complexities of working with more than just three people. Now there's like whole systems in place that are like, oh, wow, you actually have to like do a parts and availability like P&A process instead of just saying, I need a control arm bushing for this side. And then you just get it. And it's kind of interesting though, because from my experience, it'll be like, I'll get a repair order from, actually this happened yesterday. This is actually kind of an annoying thing that did happen. One of the most
6 minutes.
Okay. Well, basically 6 minutes, Slim Shady.
I say you can tell the story. We could just roll these questions over to the next episode.
Well, it's not really a long story. I'm just trying to figure out how to word it. I got a repair order for a car that said, hey, there's a clunk when they're driving just in town. And I found that it went to another shop to get this thing figured out. And now it's here. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. Now we're adding shit on top of shit. Well, either way, it needed sway bar bushings. Not that big of a deal. Car had new struts, ball joints, wheel bearings, fucking sway bar end links, but no bushings. And I was like, hey, it needs sway bar bushings. I wrote down in my story on Dealer Track that it needed sway bar bushings. I P&A'd sway bar bushings. And then, you know, it gets approved. Service writer comes out with the repair order and says, hey, you know, go get those sway bar end links done. And I said, it's not end links, it's bushings. And I go back and they were like, well, whatever they said it was, go get your parts from parts. And I go into parts and I get handed a bag of nuts and two sway bar end links. And I was like, no,
nuts.
I said bushings. And they were like, well, you didn't say that in your story. And I was like, yes, I did. I literally said, and I said, let's pull it up. And I pulled it up and I was like, I point to the thing on the screen. I said, read that aloud.
What does that fucking word say?
And it was like, recommend replacement sway bar bushings due to worn bushings causing clunking noise. And I was like, bushings, not links. And he was like, all right, well, tell your advisor that it's going to be 3 days out. And I was like,
I don't really know
why I have to do this, but okay. So I, you know, just to keep everyone happy, I go up to the service writer and I say, hey, they got the wrong parts. And service writer goes,
I like how that was cut out.
Yeah.
But she was like, god damn it. She was like, of course we got the wrong shit. And I was like, oh, I sense drama.
Ansel Fuji asks, favorite album artwork?
Oh man.
I like the Led Zeppelin album with the angel with the penis showing.
The Queen album that scared the shit out of Stewie, I guess. I don't know.
Interesting.
Oh, the fucking. Actually, you want to know something? One of my favorite albums of all time.
For the artwork?
I think he said R word.
Artwork? Oh my god.
My train of thought has derailed. I don't even remember what I was thinking.
Only thing that's coming into my head is Tool albums.
Like, what the fuck is a mandala?
Let's see. Spencer Delfo asks, I know Sterling and Eric have mentioned that they love their new jobs, but is there anything else all of you would want to do as a dream job? Not even necessarily in the automotive field. Everybody knows that I want to be a racing driver. That is still my dream job. I just want to race cars for a living. That's it. All I fucking want to do.
Lately, my dream job would be streaming video games.
I mean, you could start that now.
You could just do that.
I mean, streaming video games, but also make enough money to live.
Well, you have to start
money.
I know. I need to get
now. What are you doing here? Get off. Go. Play video games.
I will start fucking streaming video games when I buy a second monitor to read fucking Twitch chat and everything.
Well, make that investment, bitch boy.
I'm gonna. I gotta pay this credit card bill. I bought a gun this fucking month, so it's a lot of money on my credit card.
Money went
that
to
gun,
gun
was $1,000.
That sounds like only an issue that you would have.
Yes, and I love it.
I charged my credit card up on a bunch of gun stuff, so now I can't pursue my dreams.
I mean, my credit card, I'm nowhere near my credit card limit, but I don't want to see $2,000 on my credit card bill.
I have $50,000 in credit card debt. They call me and I say that I can't pay it back yet. Credit card debt.
What's the next question?
Well, no, that's this episode of Flag Time. So we want to thank you for listening.
Next episode.
Next episode, we're just going to continue answering questions. So we want to thank our premium members for everything that they did. Why'd you jerk off the air? Why did you do that? There's a lure in your hand. That would have been great context.
I thought the audio was coming through because it fucking rattles.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
we can't
hear that at all.
Noise gate's way too good. Anyway, I want to thank our premium members: Ansel Fuji, Ashton Green, Ben, Big Blue Caddy, Chat Gig Mango, Cheesy Chap, Chrysler Connection, Devine, Devin Newby, Dog Milk 53, Eli Hip, Ellis Chato, Eric Firestone 512, Forced User, Ford Tech 1397, Framed Automotive, Hal, Hayden Veals, Jamie BH 911, Jan Hankey, JJ the Tech, JJ Knight 00, John Montague, Kai Dustpan, Kyle Olson 25, Level 14, Sports Cars of Sumas, Luna Cat Eye, Mad Mike, Mad Max 5, Masonite 500, Maxime Prudhomme, Midwestern Metalhead 03, Mississippi King, Mopar 1966, Nathan, Nicholas Reach, Nick Toomey, Polyester 69, Police 428, Cyan Lion, Keegan John, Sushi Sausage, Spencer Delfos, Stirworks. Boy.
What? Yes?
Do you fucking. Are you a premium member?
Yeah, I wanted to see the regular car reviews episode. Oh. I wanted to watch the fucking... I subscribed to the Patreon because I wanted to watch the Patreon.
Well, Pixie and I thank you for the $5.
Thank you. You're welcome. Gang.
Thank you. You're welcome. And thank me for my contribution. You're welcome. Thank you.
You just handed yourself $5. Yes, there you go. Where was I? Steve Henriquez, Tagarung, The Big Maple, The Forklift Guy, Vubula, William Martin, Woodwood, Elysium Darkness, and Meep Butt in Japanese. Thank you so much for your generous contributions to this dumbass show. And we will see you next time.
Okay, bye. Oh, welcome to Flag Time Podcast, everybody. What's going on?